Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who invites us to come to him in prayer at all times, for he cares for us, your fellow redeemed. When you think of a psalm for comfort, likely Psalm 23 is the psalm that comes to mind. The Lord is my shepherd. But did you know there is a psalm, just two psalms past it, Psalm 25, that's also written by King David, a much longer psalm, that also brings much comfort. Our sermon for today is from Psalm 25. It is a much longer psalm than Psalm 23, and it's a psalm that can be divided into four prayers. Two of the prayers have a very similar theme. So I encourage you to look at your bulletin or the printed copy of the sermon today, and you'll see there's some dividers, or just a space between each of the four sections, each of the four prayers in this sermon text. And if you have your bulletin with you, you can even fill in the sort of the titles or the themes of the different prayers from this this text from Psalm 25. I'll read then Psalm 25. We'll read the entire psalm to begin our sermon today. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me, and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. As we read through this psalm, perhaps you noticed just how many areas of the Christian life it covers. This psalm then would make a very good daily prayer, but especially in times of distress. In fact, I often use portions of this psalm in hospital visits or when people are recovering from illness. So let's take a look at the four prayers of this psalm and think of how the words of this psalm apply to your own life. And I pray that they will bring you strength and comfort from the Lord as we do so. The first prayer of this psalm is verses 1 through 3, and it is a prayer for protection. Notice how David expresses his complete confidence in the Lord's protection, even as he prays for it. He says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. What a beautiful description and picture of prayer David gives us in that very first verse, lifting up our soul to God. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. David did often lift up his soul to God in prayer because David, in his lifetime, had many enemies. He had nations who were at war with him and the people of Israel. There were many people in his lifetime who tried to kill him, including the king who was before him and one of his own sons, Absalom, who rebelled against him. And of course, the enemy that probably pops to mind for everyone first in regards to David is Goliath, the giant Goliath that he fought and killed with the Lord's help. The Lord, of course, gave David protection and victory throughout his life, even when the odds seemed impossible, including that case with the battle with Goliath. David prays confidently, "Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed." Well, as we observe our life and we observe the world around us, you might question if those words of confident prayer of David in verse 3 are actually true. How do we know this is true and in fact always will be, that the one who waits on the Lord, that is, trusts in the Lord, how do we know they will not, in the end, be ashamed? Well, we know that for a fact, not just from the examples of the lives of King David, or even from looking back in our own lives or looking at how God works things in the world around us or in history, but we know this for a fact because he's already given us the greatest victory by taking away sin, death, and even hell itself. He won that victory by sending his very own son, Jesus, to the cross and assured us of life eternal with him in heaven by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. That naturally leads us into the second prayer of this psalm. The second prayer is verses 4 through 11, and that is a prayer for forgiveness. So verses 4 through 11 are a prayer for forgiveness. David declares in verse 5 of that section, "For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." God is the God of our salvation. In his loving kindness, in his tender mercy, he has forgiven us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Notice the contrast David expresses between our sinfulness and God's goodness in some of the verses of this section, looking specifically at verses 5 through 7 and then verse 11. He says, "Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember, on the other hand, the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." And then from verse 11, "For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." Notice David expresses twice, "For your goodness' sake, for your name's sake, forgive me." He doesn't say, "Forgive me because I deserve it." David knew, just like we do not deserve God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness. But out of his love and his goodness, for his name's sake, for the sake of his son Jesus, we can come to God asking for his forgiveness and know that Jesus won it for us on that cross. This section not only contains some beautiful expressions and prayers for God's forgiveness, it also expresses a desire for God to teach us, to guide us, to lead us away from those paths of sin and instead to the paths of righteousness and truth. Verse 4 and 5 of our text in verses 8 through 10, David says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me." In verses 8 through 10, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." As we come together and gather in the Lord's house each week, these are our prayers as well. Forgive us, Lord, according to your grace and your mercy. Teach us, guide us, lead us on the paths of your righteousness. Keep us from those destructive sins that ruin our lives and threaten our souls. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. That leads us into the third prayer of this psalm, which is found in verses 12 through 14, the shortest of the sections, a prayer for a godly life. You notice the expression, "fear the Lord," is either written or referenced twice in these three short verses. It shows up repeatedly in the Bible, that expression, "fear of the Lord." It's kind of unfortunate that the word fear is the word that most English translations have chosen to translate the Hebrew word that is used there. It is a very deep and full word that means to revere the Lord, to honor the Lord, to trust in Him. When we think of the word fear, often in our English minds, we think of being afraid of. It does not mean to be afraid of the Lord, even though we do have a healthy fear of His holiness and His power. It is a word that means honor, revere, respect, stand in awe of Him, and trust Him. That word cannot really be translated with just one word in English, but probably revere or stand in awe of is the best way to translate that expression. Notice what God promises to those who fear Him, who honor Him, respect Him, believe in Him. He says in these verses, "Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." So when we fear the Lord, when we honor Him, respect, revere, trust, and believe in Him, He will teach us. He will bless us. He will show us His covenant, His promises of life and salvation. After that short prayer, the third prayer, we are led back to a very similar theme to the first prayer of this psalm. And those prayers act as sort of bookends, beginning and closure to the psalm. This fourth prayer is a second prayer for protection from the Lord. But notice in this last section that David's pleas for protection deal with not only our physical protection, but most importantly, our spiritual protection. And looking specifically at verses 16 through 18 and verse 20 of this psalm, David pleads, "Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you." We know that we need our Savior's protecting hand of deliverance every day, especially in times of distress. But how much more grateful are we that He has, in fact, plucked our feet out of the net, the trap of our spiritual enemies, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. We are so grateful for that deliverance and that protection because it's not just for this life. It's not just a one-time rescue or protection just in a temporary time. It is eternal. And as much as we human beings detest waiting, David reminds us a number of times in this psalm and throughout the psalms that we can wait for you, wait for the Lord, or wait on the Lord, because we know that in the end He will deliver us. In the end, He will redeem Israel out of all of their troubles. It's interesting to think of that last verse after what happened this weekend. When I originally started writing this sermon, I did not know the events that were going to happen in Israel this weekend, but we think of the nation of Israel going through severe troubles right now with the war and the attacks that were inflicted upon them in the Middle East and in their country right now. We pray to the Lord for their protection and to have Him end that conflict. In David's day, the Israelites were God's chosen people. In the Old Testament, they were His chosen people, the people He chose to bring the Savior into the world through that nation of people, and David was their king. In the New Testament, however, the Apostle Paul reminds us that true Israel, spiritual Israel, does not depend on our nationality or our race, but on faith. He says so in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. So believers are God's, quote-unquote, Israel in the New Testament. So when you read the last verse of this psalm, remember that David is talking about us. He's talking about you. He's talking about all believers when he says, "Redeem Israel, redeem your people, redeem all believers, O God, out of all their troubles." What troubles are you facing right now? What troubles did you bring with you into the worship service today? What physical emotional or spiritual distresses are afflicting you and your loved ones as we gather here in God's house. Do what King David did. Lift up your soul to the Lord. Wait on Him. Completely trust in Him. He will deliver you. Completely. If not in this life, we know He will completely deliver us from all of our troubles in the next. And He sealed that promise in blood. The blood of His own Son, Jesus, which was shed on Calvary's cross. May these words of prayer and promise from Psalm 25 bless your life and comfort your heart and your soul this week, no matter what troubles or distresses you are facing. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.